Well, good evening. Every year, this is a highlight of our church, sort of ending this year of a lot of good things. Our choir works hard and practices from the end of September until late this afternoon. They're working. And our drama cast is always a blessing. And the children coming to sing in the midst of the cantata tonight. Thank you for coming and joining with us. Some of you have been coming for years. And if you didn't come, we would think maybe something was wrong with you. You maybe are homesick or something. Thank you for being here with us. I've asked Ricky to come and lead us in a verse or two of just a well-known song. You won't have to turn there of Christmas carols as the last people are being seated.
Please join with me. Take your hymn book. Let's go to song 194.
They can't see either.
I'm sorry. Just follow me. You know this song, Joy to the World. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, okay? Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let every sinner king, let every heart prepare him room, and heaven nature sing, and heaven nature sing, and heaven nature sing. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Joy to the earth, the Savior reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rock hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy, repeat the sounding joy, repeat, repeat the sounding joy. Good singing tonight, Pastor Butts.
Let's have a word of prayer as we begin the evening. Heavenly Father, we pray that you be with the choir tonight, that you would give them extra ability to focus and sing. And I pray for our drama, be with those that are playing and those that are leading and all the rest. And help us, Lord, that we would get encouragement and a blessing from everything that's said and done tonight. In Jesus' name. And everybody said?
Amen.
Brother Rick, Brother Irwin, we turn it over to you, please.
Gloria, in excelsis Deo,
It's Christmas time again, and so many memories come flooding back. The problem is, when you get to be my age, all those memories kind of seem to run together. But you know what? There's one Christmas I'll never forget. It was around, 1949. Christmas, 1949, in Caldwell, New Jersey. My father had just passed away 2 years prior. And all there was just my mother, me, and my brother and my two sisters. We lived in a tiny apartment not too far from the diner where Mom worked. We lived in a tiny apartment on that side of town. Things were a whole lot different back then. For example, gasoline was 20 cents a gallon, a postage stamp was just 3 pennies, and a loaf of bread was a whopping 14 cents. Just 2 quarters would pay for a nice dinner at a fancy restaurant, and many workers made less than a dollar a day.
Hurry up, kids. It's time to eat. We're gonna be late for church.
What's for supper, Mom? I'm starved.
Peanut butter sandwiches and beans.
Peanut butter again? I wish I lived next door with Johnny. Last night, he got 2 whole hamburgers for supper.
That sounds good.
Mom, my hair looks awful.
Like usual.
Just sit down, dear. I'll help you after supper.
Hey, Mom, can I have a glass of real milk? Please?
Sorry, Sammy. You know that milk is for something special. Just go ahead, get some canned milk out of the cupboard, and mix it with water with that pitcher over there. It's just as good.
Just as good?
You're right, Mom. I can hardly tell the difference anymore.
Well, you could if you were normal, Becky.
My name is Rebecca, little bother.
What? Rebecca? Since when?
Since I've grown up. It's time for you to learn to respect your elders, pipsqueak.
Rebecca.
Kids, that's enough. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this food, but most of all, thank you for our salvation. Now please help all of us to be kind to each other as we eat this delicious supper. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Christmas was always a pretty sparse affair at our house, but Mom did her best. Each one of us prized the small gifts that she would leave under the tree. Usually we'd get a tangerine, some hard candy, and maybe a toy from the Salvation Army. We didn't have much. Of course, neither did anybody else we knew. But we did have the Lord, and you know what we found out? The Lord is good to every one of his children.
The Lord is so good, he's so mighty and strong. He owns all his treasures, to him they all belong. He made all the valleys, the mountains great and small. All nature obeys him, for he controls it all. The Lord is so good.
Most of our lives revolved around the tiny church just 4 blocks from our house. We loved it there, the music, the preaching, and the people. When the doors were open, wild horses couldn't keep us away. I especially remember Pastor Thomas. He was my hero.
Now, the Lord has been mighty good to our little church this year, hasn't he? Now, I know that we may not have all the nice things that we'd like to have, but we have great riches through the Lord Jesus Christ. Why, in just the last 6 months, we've seen 3 families reach for the Lord. And did you know that the average person seated here tonight is wealthier than 90% of the rest of the world? Yes, we're rich in a lot of ways, but most of all, let's all be thankful for the gift that was given to us almost 2,000 years ago, heaven's greatest treasure that was sent to earth, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'd like to do something just a little bit different this year. Let's plan on taking a sacrificial offering for a really needy family here in Caldwell. Now, I've already contacted the folks at the Salvation Army, and they're helping me locate a family that's struggling. Since Christmas comes on a Sunday this year, 4 weeks today, we'll take up a special offering on Christmas morning, and then I'll personally deliver it on Christmas afternoon. Now, why don't we all try and figure out what we can do without so that we can share the love of Christ to this needy family? And maybe, just maybe, we can reach them for the Lord too.
Thank you.
Mom. Isn't it exciting?
Exciting?
Yeah, about raising money for the poorest family in town.
Oh, well, yes. It's a good idea.
I've been such a dummy, complaining all the time. Well, there's lots of more people worse off than us.
That's right, Sammy. We have so much to be thankful for.
How much are we going to give in the offering, Mom?
Well, I suppose we could give something.
Something?
Listen, you two, money doesn't grow on trees.
Kids, I love to help to give for that offering, but I don't have enough money to buy you any presents.
Don't worry about us, Mom. We don't want any presents.
Who doesn't want any presents?
We don't. We much rather see that poor family saved, won't we, Becky?
Well, I suppose that would be nice.
Good. Now, all we have to do is get some extra money.
And maybe I can get some extra work somewhere.
No. Mom, you already work way too hard. We'll take care of this.
What can you do, baby brother?
Well, being the man of the family, I've got plans.
What kind of plans?
On the way back home from church, I noticed quite a few yards still covered with leaves. And it got me thinking, shouldn't they be raked up before the snow comes?
I suppose so.
Has anybody asked you?
They don't need to. I'll just go around, rake them all up, then ask for donations.
That's not a bad idea.
Why, thank you, Miss Rebecca.
Mom, what if we use margarine instead of butter for the next few weeks?
And water instead of milk.
I guess that will save some little, if you kids don't mind.
We could all have cornflakes for supper every night.
With water on them.
Yuck.
Come on, Becky. You need to lose a few pounds anyway.
I'd like to lose a few pounds, and his name is Sammy.
Come on, Becky. Please?
What do you think, Beck?
Well, I suppose I could do some extra babysitting.
And I can help you too, Becky.
I knew you'd come through it, big sister.
Come to think about it, I heard that Miss Brooks needs some help cleaning her house since she had that fall last 2 weeks ago.
I bet she'd be glad to have my help, Mom.
I bet she will, Katie.
And she'd probably pay you too.
Mom, do you remember that delicious fudge you used to make?
Oh, of course. It used to be my grandmother's recipe.
Oh, Mom, that stuff was delicious.
Why don't you make it anymore?
Well, it's awfully expensive with all that chocolate and butter.
Well, why don't we see if Mr. Harris down at the AMP could give us enough credits to buy the ingredients? We can sell the fudge door to door, and we can pay him back in no time.
That's a great idea.
I can help too.
I volunteer to lick the pan, sir.
That just might work.
We're gonna make lots of money, Mom. Just wait and see.
That needy family is going to have a Christmas they'll never forget.
We'll give them tons of money. This is going to be the greatest Christmas of all.
Thank you.
As the days passed, our excitement grew. We lived on beans, corn flakes, peanut butter, and bologna, but we loved it. We were on a mission, and no sacrifice was too great.
Let's get down to Cookie Jar and see how much money we've made so far.
Guess you're gonna wear that money out if y'all keep counting it so much.
I got some more, Mom. Mr. Miller gave me a whole $1 William for raking his lawn this afternoon.
Why are you calling it a $1 William?
Because I'm not familiar to call it a $1 bill. Get it?
Sammy, I'm going to burn that joke book of yours.
Look at this. Miss Brooke gave me 50 cents for helping her clean the house.
Wow, that's wonderful, kids. What about you, Becky?
Oh, you probably wouldn't be interested.
Come on, Becky. Did you get paid today?
Well, I can't seem to remember.
Becky!
Oh, yes. Now I remember. Mrs. Smith paid me for all the babysitting I did last week. What do you think of this? One Franklin and three Georges.
$8?
Oh, Becky, she must really appreciate you.
Oh, it's nothing for someone as mature as I am.
I can't believe it. $8.
Becky, I take back all the mean things I ever said about you.
You haven't even heard the best part yet.
There's more?
I gave Mrs. Smith a taste of your fudge, Mom, and she asked if you would make two batches for her garden club party tomorrow night.
But I sold the last piece this afternoon.
And she said she's gonna pay us. She said she'd give us $5 if I delivered it by supper tomorrow.
But I sold the last piece this afternoon. Wait, $5?
But I haven't got time to make more fudge today. I have to be at the diner in 30 minutes.
Mom, don't you worry. I'll handle everything. The best cooks are in the world are men, you know.
Oh, bother.
Now, I'll turn on the stove first.
That's the clock, Sammy.
Oh, yeah. I knew that, but it just needed a little adjustment. Everyone knows this is the stove control.
Rest the oven,
here.
Sweetie.
Mom, I've got an idea. Why don't you explain to us exactly how to make the fudge? Then Katie and I can be Sammy's helpers. Is that all right with you, Sammy?
Well, okay. I guess I could let you do some of the easy stuff, like washing dishes. Ooh, and cleaning up.
You're too kind, Your Majesty.
What are we gonna call it?
Call what?
The fudge.
How about something really novel, like fudge? It's worked so far.
Nah, that's way too plain. If this stuff is gonna really go, it's gotta sound special.
Mom, didn't you say that it was your grandma's recipe?
That's right, Katie.
Maybe we could call it Grandma's Fudge.
That's better, but it still needs a bit more pizzazz.
This is ridiculous.
How about Grandma's Famous Fudge?
Now you're talking. Katie, you're a marketing genius.
And so it was born, Grandma's Famous Fudge. Mom gave us a 20-minute lesson in fudge making, then hurried out the door to work. By the time she came back, we had burnt fudge all over the kitchen. And we kids were all mad at each other. But with Mom's help, we had two perfect batches by the end of the night. The next day, I proudly delivered our pride and joy to Mrs. Smith. Not only did Mrs. Smith love our fudge, but every woman in her garden club raved about it too. Before we knew it, we had orders coming out of our ears. It seemed every one of those women had a Christmas party that wouldn't be complete without Grandma's Famous Fudge. We were having the time of our lives working around the clock. That needy family wasn't going to be poor anymore. The wealth of 1,000 kingdoms was piling up in our cookie jar.
Thanks for supper, Mom. That was delicious.
You're welcome, Sammy. I work hard and long on those cornflakes.
They were really good, Mom.
I can't believe I let you kids taught me into making you cornflakes instead of meatloaf on Christmas Eve.
Mom, it's our last chance to save money for the offering tomorrow.
I know, but y'all kids deserve something good once in a while, too.
Dinner was very special, Mom. I can't remember the last time I had real milk on my cornflakes. Thank you.
Your kids are so amazing. I am so proud of you.
I'm so excited. I don't know whether I could sleep tonight or not.
Let's count our money again.
I'll get the cookie jar.
It's empty.
Empty?
The money's gone?
I knew what this would happen. Call the police.
Call the army.
Wait, kids. Settle down.
Settle down? But we've been robbed.
I know who took the money.
Who? Let me at him.
I took it.
You?
Yes. I stopped by the bank this afternoon and got some larger bills for all that change.
Oh, Mom, don't scare us like that.
I almost had a heart attack.
I did have a heart attack.
Get up off the floor, Sammy.
I hope there's no permanent damage, Sammy.
Get up before I give you some real permanent damage.
You need a sense of humor.
And you just need some sense.
Where's the money, Mom?
Right here in my purse. All $122.
Mom, is that what I think it is?
A $100 bill?
Wow, a brand new $100 bill. But it doesn't look real.
Oh, it's real.
Can I hold it, Mom?
Sure, Sammy.
I feel like a millionaire.
Let me hold it, Sammy.
Whoa. Hold your horses, Katie. Let me just look at it a minute. That needy family is gonna faint when they see this.
I can't wait until the pastor takes the offering tomorrow morning.
Are you kids sure you want to give all this money at the offering?
Of course, Mom.
That's what we've been planning all along.
I know. I just want to be sure that's what you really want to do.
Why wouldn't we?
Well, I feel like a terrible mother. It's Christmas, and none of you have any presents. Not even one.
We know that, Mom. That was the plan.
I know, but I still feel guilty. Your father would have made sure at least one of you received something. It wouldn't hurt just to take a little bit of the money and go down at the Salvation Army and get you something there.
We can't do that.
Sammy, what about your shoes? Those holes are not getting any smaller.
I can just cut out new pieces of cardboard to put them inside, like I always do. They're fine.
And Becky, you can't even button up your winter coat. It's too small.
I always got too hot when it was buttoned anyway.
And Katie, wouldn't you like a new toy?
I suppose so, Mom, but not as near as much as I like to help that poor family. I just know they're gonna be safe.
I know. I just got to hand it to you kids. Your father would have been so proud of you.
Mom, can I put this $100 bill in the offering plate tomorrow?
I don't know, Sammy. You're gonna have to ask your sister about this one.
It's fine with me.
Becky?
I guess that'd be okay.
All right.
But how are we gonna divide up the rest?
Let's see. Mom, you ought to get the $20. And Becky, each one of us can put in $1.
Just $1?
Kids, it doesn't matter who puts the money in the offering. You all have worked very hard, and the Lord is gonna reward you for that.
I didn't sleep a wink that night. We got to church early Christmas morning and sat right down front so we could be the first ones to give. Some of the other kids looked at us rather strangely since we were wearing the same clothes we had worn all year long. But I didn't care. I had more money in my hand than they could ever imagine. As long as I live, I'll never forget the feeling of dropping that $100 into the offering plate. My eyes filled with tears. I was the happiest, richest kid on earth. Just like the wise men, I had given my very best to the Lord.
What's for Christmas dinner, Mom?
You never believe it. The A&P had a Christmas special yesterday, and guess what was on sale?
What?
A whole big giant of cornflakes.
Cornflakes?
And that's not all. Also, there was on sale an oatmeal.
Oh, goody, my favorite.
Hey, maybe we can raise money for another needy family and give it to them on New Year's Eve.
Sure, people will need fudge for the New Year's party anyway, won't they?
No more fudge, please.
Sorry, kids. Nobody's making fudge today.
Thank goodness.
Why not, Mom?
I'm using the oven.
For cornflakes?
Sorry, Sammy. Those cornflakes are gonna have to wait. Yesterday, I also found something else on sale.
What was it, Mom?
A half-priced turkey.
Oh, turkey sounds so delicious.
And how about that cranberry sauce?
Ooh, and mashed potatoes.
And dressing.
And all the trimmings. We're gonna eat like the richest folks in town today.
I wonder if Pastor Thomas has delivered the money to the poor family yet.
That's right. He could be giving them our money right now.
Maybe the pastor's telling them how to get safe at this very moment.
Mom, we better hurry up and pray that God will work in their hearts.
That's a great idea. You go ahead and lead us.
Dear Jesus, you have given us so much. Thank you for the best Christmas ever. I especially pray for the Pastor Thomas as he delivers the money so those poor people, Lord, give them just the right words to say so that they will get saved, Dan.
Who could that be?
I'll get it. Pastor Thomas, come on in. We were just praying for you. Have you delivered the offering yet?
Well, not quite yet, but I did talk with the folks at the Salvation Army, and then I met with the deacons, and the vote was unanimous.
What vote? What are you talking about?
Well, the deacons and the Ladies Missionary Society, they all agreed.
Agreed in what?
Well, they've agreed that the special church offering that we've been taking should be given to you and your family.
To us? But Pastor...
No. It's settled here. God bless you and have a Merry Christmas.
Who was it, Mom?
It was Pastor Thomas.
What's wrong? Who is at the door?
Pastor Thomas? What did he say? Did he deliver the money yet?
Did the needy family get saved?
He gave me this.
What is it?
It's the offering, honey. The church decided to give it to us.
But it was supposed to go to a poor family.
The poorest family in town.
I guess that's us, Katie.
We're not poor.
Well, the whole church says we are.
I just want to cry. What are my friends going to think?
Great. This morning, I was a millionaire. And now, I'm a beggar. Merry Christmas.
Bah, humbug. Why don't we go out on the street corner and beg for food like the rest of the bums?
Kids. The Lord is under control. It's not as bad as it seems.
You're right. It's worse. I'm never going to show my face at that church again.
Becky, don't talk like that. Remember, when Jesus came to this earth, he was humiliated too.
But I don't want to be humiliated, and I'm not touching that money.
What are we going to do with it, Mom?
I don't know. Let's just ask God to show us how.
Thank you.
Even though we prayed that evening, we still felt terrible. To make matters worse, I counted the money, and it came to $141. We had given all of it except for $19. As far as I was concerned, I never wanted to set foot in that church again. But the next Sunday was New Year's Eve, and Mom forced us to go, much to her regret.
I'm never gonna go back to that dumb church again.
You don't have to worry about that, Slugger. They'll lock the doors if they see you coming again.
Sammy, why did you hit David?
Because he called me a beggar.
So?
So, I showed him who the real beggar was.
What is that supposed to mean?
When I got through beating him up, he was down on his knees begging for mercy.
Pastor Thomas was really upset. He said David's nose was bleeding everywhere.
It was really neat, Mom. There's blood all over the carpet.
Great. My brother's not only a beggar, he's a juvenile delinquent.
Kids, I'm also having a hard time with this, but we have to hold on to the truth. In Christ, we are rich, not poor. Rich.
Why don't you tell that to the church, Mom?
Sammy, you be quiet. We're not beggars. I don't care what anybody else says.
Sorry, Mom.
Only if your father were here, he'll know what to do.
You'll be fine, Mom. Don't cry.
Please, just don't make us go back to that church again.
Lord, please help me. Help me to get through this. What am I supposed to do?
I could just die.
Silent night, Jesus came to earth. Angels watched the wondrous sight, singing of his birth. But one day the singing stopped. All was pain and loss when the wicked took my him to a cross. Lead me to the cross, Lord Jesus. Lead me to the place of death. Lead me in the way of suffering. Let me draw my final breath. Not my will, but thine, dear Father, knowing you is worthy. Let me feel your resurrection power. Lead me to the cross. Every good and perfect gift falleth from above, given from my Father's hand. Jesus has for me. Daily I must take my cross and go to Calvary. Lead me to the cross, Lord Jesus. Lead me to the place of death. Lead me in the way of suffering. Let me draw my final breath. Not my will, but thine, dear Father. Knowing you is worth the cost. Let me feel your resurrection power. Lead me to the cross.
The following week was awfully difficult. Although we three kids tried to be strong, Mom still cried a lot. We had not seen her so low since Dad's funeral. I was mad at everybody, but I was especially mad at God. How could he have my mother suffer so much? The following Sunday, Mom decided we try to go to church one more time, and none of us was about to tell her no. There was a special speaker at church that Sunday night, a man called Dallas Washer, who was a missionary from Togo, West Africa. His exciting stories about serving the Lord in a very difficult place helped us to forget about our own problems, at least for a little while.
In the rainforest of Africa, Sunday morning services are, well, a little bit different than they are here. For instance, just 2 months ago, I was preaching in the village of Koje when it started, well, pouring rain. Since our church has a grass roof, it wasn't long before leaks started appearing here and there, and people began shifting about to keep from getting wet. Now, things really got exciting when a large poisonous snake fell from the ceiling and people began jumping out the windows. Right then and there, I decided it was time to put a new metal roof in our church in Koje. Now, this project, however, cost about $150. That is a large sum amount of money for those poverty-stricken Africans. Now, perhaps this morning, the Lord would burden your heart to give toward this project. The need is great, but our God, He is able.
Now, before we close the service today, I'd like to take a special offering for Brother Washer here. Now, I know that 2 weeks after Christmas is not exactly the best time in the world to try and raise money, but these fellow brothers and sisters in Christ in Africa have a real need. Let's all try to give something.
I think the idea hit us all at the same time. We all looked at Mom, and she was smiling for the first time since Christmas. As soon as the service was over, we got outside, and we started talking a mile a minute.
Sammy, are you thinking what I'm thinking?
If I am thinking what you are, what I'm thinking.
I think we're all thinking the same thing.
Will somebody please say it?
We need to give our money to the missionary.
How much do you want to give, kids?
All of it, of course. There's not any question.
Even that might not be enough.
But how are we going to get it to him? He's leaving town this afternoon.
Ooh, let's take it to the Miller's house.
Why would we take it there?
That's where he spent the night. He's not leaving till after lunch.
How do you know that, Sammy?
Simple. I asked the pastor.
You're a genius, little brother.
Why, thank you, Your Highness.
We quickly walked the rest of the way home. I grabbed the money off of the kitchen table that had been there for 2 weeks, and we immediately set out again. It was a long walk. But we finally got to the Miller's house just as Mr. Washer was putting his suitcase in the car.
Sir, my family and I would like to have a talk with you.
With me? I'm sorry. I don't live here. I'm just visiting in the area.
We know that, sir, but we still need your help.
Well, I haven't got much money, but I'll do what I can.
Mister, we don't want your money. We were just wondering if you could help us get rid of some money. Here, in this envelope.
Well now, where did this money come from?
We've gotten it from all over town.
And we have to do all kinds of things to get it too.
Yeah, sometimes we even have to stop people right on the street.
Oh, really?
You kids really set a mean pace. Have you delivered the money to Mr. Washer?
We're trying to, Mom.
How did you know my name, ma'am?
We heard you this morning.
You were great, Mr. Washer.
Oh, yeah, especially the part about the big snake.
Oh, now this is making sense.
How much did you get in the offering this morning,
Sammy?
Well, that's all right, ma'am. I don't mind. We got about $11, son.
That's all?
Every little bit helps. In God's time, he'll give us that new roof.
Well, we don't want you to have to wait too long.
Will you take our envelope now and add it to the offering? We didn't have it with us this morning.
Is that all right with you, ma'am?
Yes, they earned it, Mr. Washer, and they want you to have it.
Yeah, so you can reach lots of people for Jesus.
Is this money that you need for your family?
Mister, don't you worry about us. We're really, really rich, and there's lots more where that came from.
Sammy!
It's true, Mom. The Lord gave us this money, and he's got plenty more.
He sure does, son. So, what are your names?
We'd rather not say. Just don't tell no one who gave you this money.
Just remember us as the richest family in town.
I understand. Thank you all very much.
Sammy, what's that stuff in your pockets?
Ooh, I almost forgot. It's for Mr. Washer to take with him to Africa.
What is it?
Well, it used to be fudge.
We were a different family after that. I think we floated all the way home, singing and laughing and thanking the Lord for his goodness. Much to our surprise, we began getting a lot of orders for Grandma's famous fudge. And before long, we had quite the family business going. Then one Sunday night, several months later, we got another surprise.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight, for our missionary report, I'd like to read you all a letter that I've just received on Friday morning. It reads, "Dear friends, I've enclosed a picture of our church in Koje." He's able to send a picture to us. "Thanks to you, we now have a brand new snake-proof metal roof. We had our very first service in our new building last Sunday. Even though it was raining, 8 people got saved at the end of the service. Let me add a special word of thanks to one of your families who went the extra mile to help out with this project. Now, they only identified themselves as the richest family in town. Thank you, folks. I appreciate your unusual sacrifice. Yours for souls, Dallas Washer." Well, I'm thinking that perhaps Brother Washer here got us mixed up with another one of his supporting churches. But nonetheless, I want to thank each and every single one of you who gave towards that roof.
Ever since that night, all those years ago, I've realized that I'm a member of the wealthiest family in the universe. My father owns it all. Oh, we still had hard times, plenty of them, but the Lord always provided. I even made it through 4 years of Bible college, and you'll never guess who paid the way. Grandma, or at least Grandma's famous fudge. And today, I'm president of Grandma's Famous Fudge Factory. Over the years, I suppose we've made a lot of money, but we've never really held on to much. It never really made sense for us to keep a bunch of money down here when we could send it on up ahead up there. Now think about it. 1,000 years from now, it's not going to matter a hill of beans what kind of clothes you're wearing or how much money you have in the bank. All that's going to matter is my relationship with Jesus Christ, the greatest treasure of all.
Story. And the neatest thing is that story's true. Dallas Washer is a missionary over in Togo, Africa for many years. A lot of people accepted Christ. And that story of that family is an actual reality that took place. It was a miracle that happened in a little poverty-stricken family that became suddenly wealthy when they realized the riches that they had in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a verse in the Bible. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. It says this, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich." That ye through his poverty might be made rich. In that verse, it talks about the idea that the Lord Jesus Christ is rich. Can you imagine what it would be like? I've thought about this many times over the years as a pastor, how that the God of eternity that made us came to live among us, that he stepped outside of his majesty. He took the robes of his glory and he set those aside, but he did it for a purpose. He did it because he loved us. You know, the Lord Jesus himself, at God's bidding, was at creation. He's the one that helped to make and fashion this world. The stars in the sky, the clouds that you see in the day, the sun that rises, the birds that sing, the oceans that are out there were made by the Lord. He made all the animals. He made all the birds. He made you and me. And that one that loved us so much set aside all of that prerogative, all that glory that he had. But there was a purpose. He came to bring us back to him. The Bible starts out in the book of Genesis, and it talks about in that first years in the Garden of Eden that Adam and Eve disobeyed God, and they sinned. And that sin became a wall, a separation between God and his creation. And God in his love made a plan. And that plan was that his son would leave eternity to come and pay for all of our sins by dying on the cross. He became poor that we might become rich, the one that owns everything. I looked in the hymn book this afternoon, and I like to use hymns to express sometimes a truth that, you know, has been written for us to sing. And I found a whole section of almost 30 songs altogether. The love of God, the wonder of his love, the greatness of his love. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. All these songs trying to express how that one came and gave it all for you and for me. Our Lord loves us that much. You and I were broke. We were so broke that there was no hope we could ever, ever pay for our sins. And yet God sent his son to pay in full our sin debt. This is a mystery to a lot of people in our world because we're basically thinking in our heart, I've got to do something to impress the Creator. I've got to have a scale where here's all my pile of sins, and I've got to sort of pile up the good stuff, and maybe I can outweigh, and when I stand before the judgment, maybe God will let me in. That is so what God had in mind. God said you could put everything good that you ever did in your life, it wouldn't tilt the scales one little bit. Amen. And so he sent his son to put his riches that those sins could be paid, not in part, but in full. You know, sometimes I don't understand why people that are miserable and they know they're lost in that sin that they're in, why they won't receive that full payment of our Lord Jesus Christ. He became poor for our sakes, that through his poverty was hanging on the cross. His poverty was he emptied himself of all but his love. His poverty is that he gave his very shed blood for you and for me. He laid it down willingly. Nobody made him do it. His love propelled him to give for you and me. And then as he laid down his life by faith, God the Father raised him up from the dead 3 days later. And in that resurrection, the Lord said, I give unto you all that will believe in you. And as I raised up you, they will be raised up in like fashion. And so we place our faith in the finished work of the resurrected Savior. And in the New Testament of the Bible, the book of Acts, as the apostles, the early ones, Peter, James, John, Andrew, all that group, they went around. Their message was filled with that resurrection hope. That one day we too could be raised to newness of life. And when we see God, we will be changed into the image of Christ and so would be with him for all eternity. This is the message of the good news of the gospel. And this is the riches that we receive. We, being bankrupt spiritually, can inherit with the wealth of the Son of God for all eternity. Being poor, we become rich because of the grace of our God that emptied himself for you and for me. All he asks is that we turn from our own sin and we turn from our own ways of trying to impress God and embrace Jesus for who he is, who the Bible says he is. There's a song in our hymn books. We really don't sing it much at Westside. I don't know, maybe we need to change that in the new year. But it's entitled, Out of the Ivory Palaces, Our Lord Jesus Christ Came to a World Full of Woe. And there he gave himself for you and me. I wonder, have you received the riches of Christ as your Savior? You don't join the church. You don't get baptized. You don't go through a lot of spiritual rituals. You received the full payment that was paid 2,000 years ago. You can become rich tonight in God through Christ. Your poverty can end tonight. And in God's sight, he can see you as redeemed, paid in full. That's the message of the cross. That's what Jesus wants to do for anybody here that's never accepted Christ. You know, a subset in this message tonight of the cantata was we having received those riches, why don't we share those to this world? I think so many times we are so full of the just richest things that you can imagine. And yet, what are we doing to let other people that are broke and poverty-stricken to come to that place where they can be the richest people in town as well? Have you shared your faith with anybody? I was talking to the people in our church. We go out on Saturdays, and I said, you know, one of the greatest ways you can tell people at Christmas is just ask them, do you know why Christ came? And I think you might be surprised how many people can't really give an answer. Good example, he came because he wanted to sort of be nice to us. He came and he gave everything that we might be wealthy in Christ. I hope you know our Savior. If you don't know Christ, could you seek me out? Could you seek my wife? She's at the piano tonight. We're going to have a fellowship afterwards. Come and say, Pastor, you know, tonight, this presentation, your talk touched my heart. And I know I am broken by sin. And I need the riches of Christ in my life. Come and talk to us. Come and receive the Lord Jesus as your Savior before tonight's over. Can we have a word of prayer, please? Heavenly Father, I pray tonight that if there's someone here that's considering the fact of their own need of Jesus Christ, that they would let go of any hindrances or pride or anything that would be keeping them from receiving the riches of Christ, and that tonight would be the night of their redemption and their salvation. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, tonight, we would like to sort of say thank you to the choir and some of the cast for all they've done. I'd like to say, first of all, thank you to Irwin. Would you stand up, Irwin, please? Irwin. This past year, we've enjoyed for a good 5 or 6 years Jim Byerly leading our choir, and I've led it before, but I've got a lot of things to do, and Irwin saw me struggling, and he took out his talents, and he wiped them off. And I think he did a pretty good job tonight. Amen. Let's give him a hand, okay? Irwin, if this was your first one, I wonder what next year is going to be like. You did a great job. And Mrs. Butts at the piano for a lot of years. Let's give her a hand tonight. And then we had a cast. Aaron, you did a good job. Where are you at, Aaron? Our narrator. There you are right there. Come on here, Aaron. Okay. And then we had the missionary from Africa. Come out here, please. Dallas Washer, played by Andy tonight, all right? And then we had the preacher. I didn't know I wore a bow tie. Come out here, okay. Joe Meyer, okay. It's neat to see these different ones. And then, Mom, you did a great job. Mom, where are you at? Come here, Mom, right up here. Okay. And then we have the two sisters. Where's the little sister? You did a good job. All right, tonight. And then they typecast the older sister. Come out here, please. Okay. That's been a job. And then, of course, Sammy. Come out here, Sammy. There you go. All right. We all did a good job tonight. And then we have our soloist, Amy. Would just give Amy a hand tonight over here, okay? And then our special children. Would you stand up, please, and face the audience? Let's get on ahead. All right, and then choir, would you stand up, please? And let's give the choir a hand tonight. Y'all can be seated. Thank you very much. Thank you. Now, I know that we have some guests that have come tonight. And if you, could we put the house lights up, please? We'll just turn on the lights and keep going. All right. If you have a guest out here, somebody that you'd like to introduce, who has a guest that maybe you brought? Stand up, please, Andy. Introduce your guest to us tonight. Who's your brother? I wouldn't take credit for being with him, but okay. What, does your brother have a name? Philip. Good to have you, Philip. Glad you made it tonight. All right. Somebody else have a guest tonight? There. Okay. This is brother night. All right, good to have you tonight. Thank you. Who else has them? Okay.
I have my aunt my dad's younger sister, Aunt Alma.
Aunt Alma, stand up.
And then my nephew, and then my cousin.
Got a whole group right there. Let's give them a hand tonight. All right. Okay. Anybody else have a guest tonight? Sarah.
My brother's here.
Where is he at?
He's hiding.
Oh, okay. We're glad. It's brother night. I tell you what. That's a... Anybody else have a guest they'd like to introduce tonight? Mrs. Betts? Okay.
I have my friend Sandy Beauvais.
Sandy.
And I've also got Jeannie Bell and a friend from Northeastern years ago. I'm sorry, I can't remember your name.
Janet Powell. Good to have him. It's Sandy, it's good to have you. Okay. Longtime friend. My wife tells me all the time. All right, good to have you tonight. And it's good to have you, Janet. Stand up, please. Jeannie? I'm going to pull one up here. Come up here, Jeannie.
Oh,
okay. Okay. Right up here, Jeannie. Jeannie was in our church 44 years ago. We started our church. She was a teenager. Yeah, that's not bad. She was in our youth group and got saved and all the different things, and we've been friends for a lot of years. I would agree with that, Jeannie. Let's give Jeannie another hand tonight. That's... West Virginia or North Carolina? She drove all the way from North Carolina just to be here tonight. Okay, that's pretty special, isn't it? Okay. It's nice to have the Capizzo family. Joanne, could you have your whole family stand up with you, please? They now take a whole row. Stand up, please. Let's give them a hand, okay. Joey, could you stand up? And Liz on the other end. Joey and Liz were in our church with Jeannie Bell all those years ago. Let's give them a hand, please, okay. Yeah. Actually, Joey was just being born. Liz is his big sister, and they have one other. All right, so that's good. Anybody else have a guest tonight they'd like to recognize? This is pretty special, isn't it? You know, on Christmas Eve, we're having a candlelight service at 6 p.m. We'd like to invite you to come back. Of course, we'll have services on Christmas morning on the 24th, but Christmas Eve, I would like to invite you to come back and join us. But we have something very special tonight that we do sometimes with this cantata. Could I have the men come forward, please? And you know what you're supposed to be bringing. You know Grandma's famous fudge? Would you like to have some? Come on, guys. You're running slow. Here we go. Come on. Just start passing it out. One apiece. Okay. Just start passing it around. Just pass it out. Don't be so nice. There you go. You're making hard. We need somebody over here on this side. Give it a keep going. Fred, just help him, please. Yes, you can eat it right now. Yes, go ahead. All right. All right, that made sort of a fun evening. We're gonna have the choir have some in a moment. Please hang on to theirs. But I think tonight in a moment, would you like to hear that last song one more time? I would. But before we do that tonight, We'd like to receive an offering. So ushers, could you please come, please? And if you could bring the offering plates. Fred, if you got the ushers, bring the offering plates, please. We'll come quickly. Just come quickly, fellas. We're waiting for you. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight that you would receive this offering as unto yourself. Thank you for all that you've given to us, the wealth of more than 1,000 kingdoms of eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. We don't often give the offertory a hand, but they've worked hard. Let's give them a hand tonight. Well, ushers, if I could please make sure that you put some candy away so they can get some later, because I will have a rebellion over here. Now, just in case you don't like fudge, my name is Pastor Butts, and you can just leave it right there on the desk for me, and I'll be glad to help you with your share of it. Right afterwards, we have, if you've never been to our property, we have a metal building. It's got a fellowship hall, and they've got cookies and drinks, and somebody brought tamales tonight. So we are going to have a nice time tonight. We want you to stay and enjoy with us. Would you come and close us, and then we'll be dismissed for our time. Heavenly Father, thank you for this whole evening. May you bless our fellowship. Thank you for the food and the cookies and et cetera that we're going to enjoy. In Jesus' name, amen. If we could move the instruments so there's room, choir.